and I get a call. Hey, Bo, this is Coach Saban from the Houston Oilers. We just drafted you in the sixth round. And my like hair stood up on my arms. I don't know who Coach Saban was. You know, one of our assistant principals, like, I know what I don't want to be. I don't want to be an AD. Not the most important coaches, but very, very important coaches are your junior high coaches, because that's your feeder programs in there.
Hey, everybody. My name is Pat Cohan, and this is the AD Insider Thursday 30. Our guest for today's show is Bo Orlando, who spent 10 years in the NFL and is now the athletic director at Berwick Area Senior High School in Berwick, Pennsylvania. Before we dive into our topics, we do want to thank our partner in this episode, and that's Hometown Ticketing. Hometown's digital ticketing platform is unlike anything on the market today, with easy-to-use features, industry-leading security, and a massive customer support team that has your back. If you want more support, more security, and more customization, go to hometownticketing.com. Bo, thanks so much for joining us.
Anytime, Pat. Anytime, buddy.
Obviously, we'll talk about your career in the NFL, but first I want to get a scope of what Berwick Area High School is for our audience. You know, let's talk about the size of the school. Is it declining or is enrollment increasing? All those things, just so our audience has scope of what you're dealing with there in Berwick.
We are probably the middle of the road in Pennsylvania. We're right at 4A, about a middle of the road school. Some of our, as you know, Pennsylvania goes by each sport and how many girls and boys. So you could be in different A's. Different classifications, and you know, track only has single or double A and triple A. You know, football has 6A. You know, all different. So there's all kind of parameters of different numbers. We're middle of the pack. We've dropped in this coming cycle. Our enrollment has dropped a little bit. So we moved to we've generally been a 4A team in football, but we soccer and football we've dropped to 3A. And I think soccer dropped to 2A because there's only four classes in soccer. But it's declined a little bit. But the weird thing is that our females went up 50 girls. We've always had usually that I've been here my 5 years. We've always had more boys than girls, at least 10 to 15 boys, girls. Our boys are at 281, and then our girl enrollment was at 314. So we've had 50 plus girls. So I don't know where that came on. So that didn't affect, and actually affected one of our girls' basketball is now moving to 5A instead of 4A. So it's just weird how that went. I mean, just made this humongous jump for 50 girls. And don't know, maybe people are having more females than males, I guess, around here.
When you were a part of this school, because this is your alma mater, you were a star athlete at the school. I think the first year that your school was actually ranked nationally was a year that you were on the team. And then you guys went 13-0, USA Today's top, I think, number one team in the country, supposedly, right?
Right. Yes.
Now coming back to the school and trying to instill maybe the pride that you got to experience as a as an attendee to that school, as a student of that school, what are things that you're trying to instill or had success in instilling to build the pride of the school?
You have to build a culture in your team. If that team does not have faith in that coach and have trust in that coach 100%, then you're not going to be a successful team. And that's one thing I'm trying to look for in my interviews coming up for other coaches that I have. Culture is one of them. What are you going to do to change a culture? Discipline is a huge factor for me, because even though you're you're doing a lot of schoolwork and you have a lot of distractions, this and that, but what kind of discipline are you going to be? What time are you going to put into the sports program and have pride in wearing a Berwick Bulldog uniform? And that's something in our other sports we've kind of tweaked here and there. And I'm going back to the coaches that are coaching them. Hey, you need to put a little bit more discipline. I think you're losing, this and that. And then when you do that, it's not fair to the kids, the other, whatever, 80% that's buying in. There's 20% of the kids that's hurting you. And I think that's something that as an AD, it's not easy to do, because for one thing, you don't coach high school sports in general for the money, because it comes out to about a quarter an hour, if that's it, for a head coach that puts in all year round. And being a disciplinarian, just sticking your guns. I tell my new coaches, have your rules and you treat everybody the same. I mean, you treat everybody the same. I don't care if it's your best player or your worst player. Everybody abides by the rules. And if you do that and you're disciplined and you build a culture, then it is what it is. And then, like I said, I don't hire, or I mean, I don't fire coaches because their records aren't good. I base that on my junior high because junior high is a building block. I've seen kids that play junior high didn't get to play a lot, but then they just worked on that individual sport and became players later on. So you never know. So we have we here at Berwick have a no cut policy at junior high. We want all our kids to play because you never know what that athlete or that guy gets a spark in them to say, hey, I'm going to be the best that I can be at that sport. I'm going to work on it at home, because that's the problem when when our generation was at baseball practice, football practice, we came home, after baseball practice, I'd ride my bike to the little league practice. I'd come home, we'd be playing wiffle ball in the park. Like, we were never inside. We were always playing a baseball. I remember wearing hard hats, playing fastball on the square, and going through the pro lineups and wearing the Phillies hat, the Yankees hat. And that, I don't think that's something that these kids have in mind here. There's so much, and I know we'll touch on it, but like, college sports, pro sports, and the amount of money and the amount of the NIL and everything else in it. The bottom line is how much you're going to work at it. The parents are a huge difference. I mean, everybody thinks their kid is the best, and I understand that. But how much time are they going to put in if you really want them to be the best? If you really want to be a Division I athlete, you're going to watch a game and say, that kid's a Division I athlete because they're taking over the game. I mean, you can tell the difference from in any sport. So that's the thing I try to instill.
What ways are you trying to get the community excited about Berwick sports?
Well, I mean, and like I said, and as bad as it seems, the more you win, the better – the more people come out and get involved and the more successful the kids are. So therefore I tried to do as we come up to this, everything runs in 2-year cycles in Pennsylvania. Like I said, our numbers were down. So I'm trying to move some of our teams down. Our basketball team has struggled. We're in a really tough division. So, right off, there's 10 games probably as big losses because we're playing bigger schools and have really good traditionally basketball players. So I'm trying to drop them to the lower division, win some games to build up some of the things on youth. I think it's one of the big things I've seen, and it's funny, and in other ADs, I think would attest that it goes in drones. Like, you get a great class, a seventh and eighth grade class, or you get a thing. So many times that we played teams and everybody wants to call you and play, like your football team or you have a good baseball team, whatever, wants to play you in that 2-year window because that's the guys that were seventh and eighth grades are now juniors and seniors, and they have a loaded team and wants to play the best or wants to play, and I can say for Berwick football, because that's been our biggest sport back in the day. They want to play Berwick football. Well, I got news for you. It's not the same, and I'm not going to be a pawn for you. You just come and beat up on Berwick football, and you beat Berwick football these days. It is what it is. But that's something I also see. We have a pretty good seventh and eighth grade, and it's kind of in a wave. And so we're trying to get through that little wave and getting those kids up to the high school and getting better programs for them down there, better games or kind of doing the thing. So it's kind of like a little puzzle piece for an AD. You're trying to kind of maneuver your way through. You got a 2-year cycle to do it in. And so that's what I'm doing through mine. I'm going through all my sports, seeing where we can drop, what we can do, and trying to make the best and trying to, like I said, trying to win. Not that it's the most important thing, but with winning comes success, comes confidence, comes with a lot of things. You know that.
How do you stay on top of all those classes down at the middle school for every different sport? Or is that something you're probing your coaches to know and deliver to you in your coaches' meetings?
Well, in the beginning, when I came here, there was X amount of coaches and there's junior high coaches. And now I try to, when I'm choosing probably the most important coaches, not the most important coaches, but very, very important coaches are your junior high coaches, because that's your feeder programs in there. Now, to say that, that is, how are they going down into the youth, and how is your youth recycled up into your high school? Because that's where it really starts, into your youth. So this time around, when I'm picking coaches or head coaches and down to junior high coaches, you need someone fundamentally sound in junior high, because to me, that's the thing that's missing, is fundamentals. I mean, that's all we did. I was fortunate to play for a lot of great coaches in my career. I played for Nick Saban. I mean, you don't talk about disciplinary, and you know, I'm a technician, so I teach my kids a lot of technique. You can play in any system you want. You know, this guy has a different defense or calls it a different way. You have technique, you can play in any defense. You can watch any guy. So that's my message out to trying to go back to my head coaches, trying to resurface our junior high programs and getting teaching, you know, teaching it in there, more playing, more quality playing, I should say, and going that. Is it easy as an AD? Absolutely not, because I'm in the middle of the road and our enrollment has dropped. You don't, when you put out for a job and you're head coach, you don't get a lot of, you don't get a lot of candidates. And that's the thing. So whatever you have to choose someone there, and you have to kind of try to build in that. So some of the smaller schools are even fight a lot of the problems that we have. You know, I mean, sometimes there's guys coaching that may not be a good coach, but that's the only option that you have. So you have to go at that and try to help out as much as you can.
What ways are you trying to level up the candidate pool that you have to make the biggest impact of the students in your school?
Well, something I've fought here, and I to me, and I try to stay in shape myself. What it did for me, I was 155 pounds coming out of high school, and I played in West Virginia at 175 pounds. I was a 400-pound bencher. For me, weight training is probably the most important thing. So we have two nice weight rooms. I've been trying to go through our trainers, you know, to, you know, we have the guy singer there, and trying to get some programs and trying to get down in Bethlehem, where I used to live. Lehigh Valley Sports is or Lehigh Valley Health Network is really huge down there. They supply the teams with strength coaches, and they're not only doing one sport, they're doing they're setting up programs for all their sports teams. So to me, that's the biggest difference when you see teams come in here, seeing the size of the kids, you know, the thickness and the athletes and the attitudes. What strength training does is bring confidence to a kid. Is it going to make him that echelon Division I player? Not always. Is it going to help to get there? Absolutely. I mean, it helps tremendously. The weight training here has been the biggest part of our thing. Now, you don't have – we're not fortunate to have a strength coach or this and that, and we're trying to establish maybe something during that gym class, that instead of that athlete, they're playing three sports or two sports. Can we get some kind of something in there that we can lift during that time, other than going out and, you know, hurting? Because after school, they've been practicing. They practice every day, you know, 365 days a year, you know, I mean, or while they're in school. So I think strength training is something I'm trying to bring in. I think is a huge, huge downfall in high school.
Did you know Nick Saban was going to be what he is now back then? What did people think of Nick Saban on that staff and in the team that you played for?
I'll tell you in a little short story of my, so I was 5'10", 175 pounds, and I was a white DB, all East West Virginia. I came and run for the, I wasn't picked for the combine. It's nowhere near it was today. So I go in and run for the Houston Oilers and the San Francisco 49ers and in our indoor shell building. That's what they were going to run, a couple guys. So I run. The guy from the Oilers is like, "Will you run again?" So I ran again. Murray goes, "I have a 4.75 down for you, but you ran 4.47 and 4.48. And I'm like, I don't know where the 4.75 came for. So 2 weeks later, and I wasn't even supposed to be drafted. My feeling on that, if I got a free agent tryout, that's all I want, to go show that I can kind of make it. That's all I wanted. 2 weeks later, I get a call from my college coach, said, the Houston Oilers are coming down to run you. Be down here, whatever, such and such time, 3 o'clock, blah, blah, whatever day. So I go down there. There's one guy and me. And this guy is running me through drills probably for about a half an hour. And then obviously, when you run for a pro scout, you want to be balls on. I mean, you'd be sprinting and everything. Now, anyone knows doing defensive back drills by yourself, it's nice when you have about 20 guys in line after they get done, a little rest, and then you can kind of go, I'm firing on one at a time. And he told me the one time he had a little smirk on his face and he said, son, take it easy, you know. So I'm going. I think the one time I backpedaled and I fell down, you know what I mean? So long story short, probably a half hour to 45 minutes with one guy. 2 weeks later, I'm at my I was married. I got married before my senior year, sitting in my living room in my pajamas, probably 11, 12 o'clock, and I get a call. Hey, Bo, this is Coach Saban from the Houston Oilers. We just drafted you in the sixth round. And my, like, hair stood up on my arms. I don't know who Coach Saban was. Like, I had no clue what he was. Even when I went there, he wasn't a big name. I mean, he was what Belichick and those guys were, just the underminds of all those other guys. And I didn't know who he was. And then he coached us for 1 year, and then he went to Cleveland, and then he got the job at, I think, Michigan State and then Miami. And he became this huge guy, but I didn't know him from Adam. The only thing that was helpful for me is that he's from Clarksburg, West Virginia, which is 45 minutes away, which I knew because I was, I was in Morgantown. I went to school there, so I knew it very well. And he went, I think he's a little bit older than Jimbo Fisher. I think they went to the same high school though, same thing. So that's the only thing. But I didn't know back then. Nobody told me that back then. I mean, it was just, there's a guy from the Houston Oilers and that was it. I mean, things, combine wasn't it what it is now, and everything what it wasn't what it is now. Here I am, a little 175 pound, guy running out there. So that's my claim to the Knicks story.
For you, what's an athletic director hack that you've installed to make your job easier?
Well, something that I didn't do much in the beginning is one-to-one correspondent with the coaches, sit down with coaches. Because, I mean, how often do they – you call, hey, I changed this game. I'm going to change – give me 2 dates so you can play, and I don't want to play them back-to-back. But all these things that we talked about that, these kids aren't doing the drills right, or these guys aren't successful, and why aren't you successful, is going trying to pinpoint some of these guys and sit down and say, what is your goal? You know what I mean? Because I don't think I've ever really sat down with a junior high coach, and to say, what's your intake on it? Here's what we'd like to do. But, I can tell you in seventh and eighth grade basketball, in Pennsylvania, you can play 20 up to 20 games in seventh grade, 20 games in eighth grade, 20 games in ninth grade. So if you have a tremendous seventh grader, he can almost play 60 games of basketball, more than your varsity. People don't realize that in Pennsylvania. As you get up in eighth grade, then you can play 28th grade games and 29th grade games. Not counting there. You can't move up until you're in ninth grade. So, we've had some guys that we've had a tremendous seventh grader who's playing a seventh grade game, eighth grade game, and ninth grade game. I cut down and say, listen, it ain't doing him any good to play in a seventh grade. I want him to play a little bit in the eighth grade game, and I want him to play mostly in the freshman game. Therefore, I want to give more kids of that seventh grade that are going to play, because you never know what it's going to spark, one or two or three of them to work a little bit harder that they don't have the skill level, but they may have the skill, and to help this kid or this two kids that you have up into high school. So that's the big thing. I had a thing with my girls' basketball like that. So the girls were getting beat up in our seventh and eighth grade. And I said, I have two tremendous eighth graders. They're playing freshman ball and that's it. The year before, I had them playing all three. I said, I can bring those girls back and play, but then your kids, and to these parents, your kids aren't going to play that much because these girls are heads above. They're heads above. So what do you, and they're complaining that they're losing. I said, so what do you want me to do? You want me to bring them back and you win, but your kid's on the bench? Or do you want to play and experience? Because I don't know if your kid's going to become a good player or not and work at it or not. So that's a one analogy that I went through myself here. And then that I'm going to go more to the junior high coaches and say, what's the deal? Like, I'm not emphasizing, everybody wants to win, but my goal here is to is the drills and develop these kids. So when they get to the ninth grade, they can jump right up to varsity and they can help out. And these guys don't have to teach them drills up into the varsity level. You know what I mean? So that's one thing that I've kind of came up with.
We interview a lot of professional ADs, mm-hmm. people that are part of the National Association, the State Association. They're very involved. They know all the certification requirements and what to do when and all this stuff. So they're very educated. But I think more often than not, the athletic director role gets filled with somebody who can have impact with their person, their name, their what they've done for a community or what the community thinks of that person, whether as a coach or a former athlete, which is your situation. So you are brought in because people trust you and they believe that you have the school athletic department's best interest.
Absolutely.
So when you go out to go learn, you just went to the SADA state conference. What did you bring back? What, and you're not a pro AD. You never wanted to be a pro AD.
Right.
But what do you think actually makes your job easier from something you've learned recently? I know we just touched a little bit on meetings and building vertical alignment with middle school. So that's great. But I really want to dive into this more because I don't think this is talked to. The people that get on camera are the people that go to these conferences and are, you know, CMAA certified.
Right.
So I'd love to hear from you who's been 5 years now.
Yeah.
That was brought in not to be a pro AD, but really to move the community forward because you genuinely want to see success for them.
Right. And I don't think schools are as educated what an AD does. They think an AD just, you know, like not because of me, because I play, but like just an AD that didn't play or whatever. You know what I mean?
I love that because that's 100% every AD.
It's huge because I don't think they do. I mean, I think it's just a dump for everything. It's all the parents dump on, the administration. Just get it done. Just schedule the games. Like they don't, not that they don't care, but they don't know what goes on. You know, when I go in my Act 93 meetings, you know what I mean? We're negotiating on our new contracts. And it's funny because, you know, one of our assistant principals, like, I know what I don't want to be. I don't want to be an AD because he knows, you know, he's good friend of mine and he knows what I do and it's all the time and I'm here and there and these guys go home at 3:30. You know what I mean? I'm out all, you know, at games till 9 o'clock, closing the stadium down and everything. So I don't think the schools actually know, you know what I mean? So yeah, I was brought in for my name to do this. I'm trying to figure out, like you said, is it communication? Is it strength? I don't know. Like I'm trying to pinpoint everything and it's not easy. No, like I said, if anyone had the answers, they'd be a billionaire because they would come to these conferences and this is the way to do it. Well, I got news for you. Everybody's not, you know, 6A school or what about the single A school or this is this. There's so many different parts to it. Like I said, I don't have audience. I have some successful programs. I have some non-successful programs. I mean, does it make me unsuccessful? I don't know. You know, how do they look at that? So I'm with you.
Touched on some things, and not on purpose, but if I can summarize, because we talked to a lot of ADs, and there's some things that you've said that's like, okay, I hear what he's doing. So I'm going to summarize here, and this might be a monologue, but one, to build pride, install discipline.
Right.
You said that multiple times that discipline has been something you at an athletic director level can impact every team by enforcing it or requiring it of your coaches who are not state coaches of the year. They are the best coaches that you have access to.
Right.
So discipline builds pride and that you can, they build programs.
Yeah,
so that was one thing, one big takeaway I took from that.
Mm-hmm.
Two, middle school, they are your lifeblood.
Absolutely.
Spending time with your middle school, whether that's casually going to the games and asking them what their philosophy is and trying to align it with the varsity program's philosophy so that those kids can be most successful when they're there, I think was a huge part. And there's a lot of different ways to do that, but that was another thing you emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
And then three, strength training.
Oh.
As an athletic director, you can fight for better weight room. Mm-hmm. A strength coach, you don't have one right now. So you're not I get to interview these programs and like, oh yeah, we got a great strength program. He's a former, you know, world's strongest man. We got all the technology in the world. You don't have that. And 90% or 70% of high schools out there don't.
Absolutely.
But by putting in the resources and fighting for the resources to make your strength training better, whether that's a gym class or just better weights, emphasizing more, that's what an athletic director at a school can do at various levels. But those are the three things that I'm hearing you
We
can actually
tried to do some. There's a program that we paid for. It was like $1,000, and it had all different. It had, all the sports, and it had workouts, off season, in season. We tried to do that. We had someone try to instill that. I don't think that all went over very well. I mean, we went ahead and got the program to do that, but I think those three things are key. But like in the strength program, someone has to follow through with it too.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, as an athletic director, what can you do? You can lobby for more money for a better
right.
weight room. You could try to get a strength coach, right?
Right.
Like ultimately, it's really it, unless you are the strength coach.
Right.
But I'm just thinking, like, as an AD, yeah, you have a lot of buttons to push, but how many levers can you pull to actually move a school's athletic department? Middle school involvement.
Absolutely.
Discipline in every program. And weight and strength training resources.
That's probably the three biggest that I would, that I'm trying to make a push here, to do, and like I said, I haven't been successful in some parts I have, and like to all the ADs out there, we're all, we're in the same boat, and we're all struggling. And, one school might be a basketball school where their facilities are fantastic, but their football isn't, and there isn't. I'm trying to be all of them. Like I said, Burke are very, very gracious in our athletic programs. We've got three turf fields. Our facilities are great.
I should have said that too. Facilities
yeah.
in general. Facilities is another part that I didn't elaborate on.
Absolutely. I think facilities make a little bit of difference for the kids because they are watching, watching Oregon on TV and all their yeah. freaking things are, and this and that, or their weight rooms, and they go visit people. But that's a big thing.
What if you had the opportunity to ask the all-knowing athletic director, high school athletic director, any question at all? What would you ask? Like, say, and I'm not. Say
right.
I'm an oracle for athletic directors. I could tell you where the best time, your time is best put to make the biggest impact. What would you ask? What would you ask of
that's
an
interesting.
AD? Like, they have the answer. You just
right.
have to ask the question. What is the question?
That's, boy, that's tough. I mean, oh man, that's put me on the spot. I think, like I reiterated, one of my hardest jobs here is picking a coach, is hiring a coach. And I think that the hiring process and the questions you ask and what they tell you and what they do might not be the same thing after you hired them. So like, what do you look for in a high school coach, or, I would say high school, not middle school. What would you look for in a high school coach, and how would it trickle down to the middle school? Like, how would you align them, or what would you do? That would be my thing, because that's probably the struggle that we have.
Well, thanks so much for joining us. That was a phenomenal end, and really appreciate everything that we got to talk about today.
No problem.